Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Angela Logomassina is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Logomassini, I should say. Angela Logomassini is Director of Risk and Environmental Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, an organization that I've been telling you about since the beginning of the show. The founder of that organization, Fred Smith, was a guest on my show way back in the very beginning, and a number of the outstanding fellows there at CEI have been on the show many times before. You know them, you've heard them on the show a lot of times, talking about a lot of different public policy issues. Angela's specialty is environmental regulations, and that's what she's here to talk to us about. Angela, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Logomassini.
Yes.
Did I say it right? Correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay. With a name like Blasingame, I try to get other people's names correct. Angela, and by the way, Angela spent a number of years with as the legislative assistant to Senator Sam Brownback, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Angela, talk to us about the impact of environmental regulations. Now, one of the things my audience knows, something we've talked about many times on the show before, is the disproportionate impact of regulatory compliance.
Absolutely.
For small business owners over big business. And the numbers are, according to our good friend Chad Mutre over at the SBA's Office of Advocacy, small businesses spend more than double per employee per year to comply with regulations of all kinds than our big business brothers and sisters do.
Absolutely. In fact, it's their largest regulatory cost for small businesses.
Over $7,000.
Regulatory costs.
Over $7,000 of our per employee per year for a small business. And what was it 23% for?
It's about 20%, and then 43% of their entire regulatory budget costs. So
yeah.
Economic regulations, workplace, tax, they're all smaller than the environment. Environment's their largest regulatory cost. And when you're a small business, that's tough to handle because you're usually teetering on the edge anyway trying to get going.
Well, Blasingame's second law of small business is it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me ask you this question. What does it look like when we actually have to write a check for environmental costs in small business? What does it look like? Where does that money go?
Well, you know, you wish that it's going to improve the environment and make things better, but a lot of it's just going into the bureaucracy, and a lot of it is not even really about the environment. It's about filling out paperwork. For instance, under the toxics release inventory, if you're a small business and you have, say, lead releases, quote-unquote releases, not real releases into the environment, but there's lead in your ceramic paint. You've
right.
got to spend hours and hours calculating out how much is in each paint and how much is used every day, and it has no environmental, no public health, you know, effect, except that environmentalists will use it with their next press release and say you've released all this lead in the environment
right.
and you're poisoning people.
What about, like a car wash or a restaurant even?
Yeah, I mean, gasoline stations have got to deal with chemicals. Car wash is the same thing. They've got to report their, I'm sure they have a lot of, you know, chemical reports, but they also have to deal with disposal. And certainly we want to dispose of all this stuff properly, you know, but there are ways to do it where, you know, you can recycle without having to, you know, engage in a regulatory nightmare because there's so many paperwork requirements and it's counted as pollution when you're actually recycling something.
That's the issue right there, Angela. A lot of people, you know, we're not going to get much sympathy out of people if we make it sound like we don't want people to keep up with what they're doing and possibly they could pollute the environment. Nobody wants that. But what we're talking about is the way they make it so onerous on small business when it's unnecessary.
Yeah, and you know, for somebody like, say, if you buy a piece of land and you're a small business, and you do your best due diligence to make sure it's clean, and 30 years ago, somebody, you know, spilled a gallon of oil, mm-hmm. and it's been relatively cleaned up and it's not harming anybody, But EPA comes and says, well, this is a Superfund site, and we need $100 million to remove all the dirt and replace it so that it's clean enough, you know, for a child to eat the dirt.
Right.
You know, a lot of it every day for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing just destroys. Superfund has destroyed so many small businesses. It's incalculable. And that's not even counted in the cost in these reports.
Exactly.
Most of the costs are hidden.
You have these report. You did produce some a document that I want you to tell the audience a little bit about.
Okay. Well, it's an analysis of the extent and the scope of the environmental regulatory state. And there are two documents. One is measuring the activity on Capitol Hill, and everybody says, oh, since the conservative Republicans took control, you know, it's been so much worse. Well, actually, you know, there's no environmental protections anymore. Well, actually, it's growing. It's grown under the Republicans. It's grown under the Republican White Houses, you know, just as much and sometimes quicker than under the Democrats. It's not a partisan thing. For some reason, lawmakers find environment irresistible. And, you know, when we don't even have action, we have growth in the regulatory state. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, we continually churning out regulations that are based on laws devised by politicians that often don't understand the situation and empower bureaucrats to basically make life miserable for a lot of people. And the regulatory study shows that, you know, environment, again, is a leading area of regulation in, you know, our pocketbooks and our quality of life, and growing faster than Homeland Security. It actually surprised me. I expected environment to be second, third, and it kept coming out as first on so many of the factors and far beyond, you know, so many of the other.
Do you think that politicians are, even the ones who we think are the most sensible about these things, vote for these things because they think their little incremental changes are not going to hurt anything really much? They're not going to be. It's not going to create a complete sea change in environmental regulations, and it gives me an opportunity to say I voted for an environmental issue.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I also
and that's what the environmentalists know, isn't it? I mean, that's they've learned how to make their case incrementally, little in small bites.
They also have an awful lot of money, and they are very sophisticated. They know how to write the laws, and politicians are passing things they haven't read. You know, the Endangered Species Act. Nobody anticipated what it would do for. You know, land use regulation.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine who had a building he was going to build, and he lost a significant investment, almost put him into bankruptcy because of a so-called mouse. Right after these messages, 20 after, we'll be right back with Angela Lugamasini right after these messages. Stay with us.
Won't you come away with me?
Oh, welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find our show, the archives, thousands of articles written by me and my Brain Trust members. You can find my newsletter where you can subscribe to that. That comes every week by email on Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. You can find my blog, which we update every weekday. Check that out. It's an audio blog for the most part. There are other things there, but the big thing is the audio part, which is right there. And you can, don't forget, you can podcast our shows. We like to allow you to do that. We're glad we can make that available to you. And the other website is askjim.biz. That's our knowledge base. It works like a website. I mean, like a search engine. The website works like a search engine, but it's a knowledge base. We've anticipated your questions and have provided you with answers. So check that out. And both of our sites have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. We don't know who you are. Just come on in and hang out with us, and we'll let you get smarter and help you start, run, and grow your business in a much more successful way. Angela Lugamasini is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's Director of Risk and Environmental Policy at Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Angela, that's CEI.org, isn't it?
That is correct.
And tell us a little bit about CEI.
Well, we're a free market public policy group. We're ideological, so our goal is to promote freedom and to create an environment where people can flourish in small business and large and basically make a better life for everybody.
Well, and it's a great organization, folks. They do a lot of good stuff, and they uncover a lot of abuses that are out there, that many of them which impact small businesses. Let me tell my story, Angela, about my friend in the mouse. He was going to build a condo in Florida, in the panhandle of Florida, and he had an option on the land. He had the building designed, and he started selling units, condos. And he sold over half of them, pre-sold over half of them, so we could start the construction. He bought the land, started laying a foundation. Here comes the Sierra Club. Takes him to court and says he's building this land on the only 300 feet on the planet Earth where this certain kind of a beach mouse was.
Oh, my goodness.
The beach mouse didn't live anywhere else. It was an endangered animal, and it didn't live anywhere else except right where this guy was, my friend, was building his condos. Well, they took him to court. The judge gave the Sierra Club a restraining order, not a restraining order, a cease and desist, I guess, and made him stop the construction until they could do more research. Well, by the time they determined that the mouse was not only endangered, it lived in many, many places in Florida and along the coast, not just in that one little 300-foot place. By the time they debunked all that and they got the order lifted, he'd already lost all of his sales and all of his money in this property, and basically because, you know, by that time the economy had turned and got in a lot of trouble. And he almost lost his whole company over that.
That's crazy. You know, the scary thing is that happens.
And this guy's a small business owner.
Yeah, the scary thing is that happens over and over again with the Endangered Species Act, and they tie up all kinds of things. And just the ability to tie something up for a period of time can destroy it. And they do it in our national forests. Anybody who's got businesses around public lands, and it's repeated over and over again. And those costs are never counted anywhere in regulatory costs for small businesses. And
that's
scary.
Right. You know, another thing, Angela, and I don't know, you probably didn't cover this in your, or you may have in your study. I didn't see all of it. You know, the Al Gore and his crowd, the Gore group, are going around making the United States Americans seem so guilty for all the pollution that we're creating. China does less than one fifth of the economy of China is of the United States economy. $2 trillion economy in China compared to 13 trillion in the United States, and yet they create between 80 and 100% as much carbon emissions as the United States does.
Yeah, well, you also remember it's a communist country, and one thing we do know is that communist countries and centrally planned economies are the biggest polluters.
Right.
Certainly, I have no problem with people developing, and certainly the people in the third world, they need the things that we have, energy, and we have a cleaner environment because we have the resources to pay for those things.
Yep.
But in communist systems, they don't have the same incentives, and the government will often put, you know, its goal over everybody else's.
Well, we've got to be careful, and one thing I think that Americans need to do is be a little more informed about environmental issues than they have been. What do you think?
I think that that's a good idea, but I think most people just want to get on with their lives, and especially small business people. There's something called rational ignorance. They can only know so much. However, at some point, we do need to communicate to policymakers that, hey, you know, we want our freedom back. And
yeah,
I think that is the critical thing. And I think that more businesses need to, more than anybody, speak up on those points, because I think that there's too many that are actually cooperating on the other side.
There are polluters out there. There are bad actors in the marketplace. But most business owners are not, and the courts need to understand that they're not. They don't need to be branding all of us as troublemakers.
Well, we all depend on business for everything that we have.
That's right.
And,
exactly.
You know, they're the ultimate service personnel, because
Angela,
they serve the public.
Angela Logomassini, Director of Risk and Environmental Policy at Competitive Enterprise Institute. Angela, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely.
Say hi to all our friends over there at CEI.
I will.
Quick break, right back with Patricia Weber, the Prodigal Brain Trust member, right after these messages. Stay with us.
That's right. Do it no matter what.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.